Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
As Pastor was saying, it's always an honor to be able to come to church, be able to speak here and to be able to share his word. That's the ultimate, you know, because God loves us. He wants us to show his love in everything that we do. Yesterday I was in Kentucky at Fort Campbell for a military education fair. And it was so funny. They had these tents. Everybody were setting tents up. Well, I had my cowboy hat on, so I carried my tent with me wherever I went. But I was over there helping other people set their tents up, and they said, "Why are you doing that?" I said, "Because you can't do it by yourself, and it's a way to honor you." And they go, "Wow." You know, and I had quite a few people come up to me afterward and said, "Just thank you for, you know, caring." And I said, "You know, that's what we need to do more of, is we need to do more caring for each other than complaining about each other." You know, so I hope that everybody had a good week. I mean, Pastor delivered a great message. He said it's going to be a series. So I've got a 3-part series, but I'm going to have to put it all into one night because I only get to speak tonight. So, you know, don't look at your watches. No, I'm just kidding. But I do hope you guys are here. Last week when Pastor Spencer began a series on good works, the whole message, of course, was inspired by God, comes from God's word, and we're allowed to grow and to be blessed because of it. There was one section that sank down into my heart, and I really learned from it, was his talk in Romans 1:31, and I call it the uns. And that's what Pastor was talking about. He was talking about the uns. So Romans 1:31, undiscerning. You know, it sounds like it's a strange verse to start off with, but like I said, it was something that was just so important that he talked about. But we should, not only should we not be undiscerning, we should be discerning. Untrustworthy. But we, as Christians, need to be trustworthy. As brothers and sisters, we need to be trustworthy. We need to know that if we ever need somebody or something, that we're just a phone call away, a prayer away. Unloving. We definitely need to show this world more love. If you don't believe me, watch about 2 seconds of TV and you'll see that. You know, I mean, even in the people that are joining the presidential race, you know, I was just going, God, show some love. I mean, really, really. We should be unforgiving. No, we should be of a forgiving nature. That's something that is so difficult for some people, and the reason why is because they've been hurt. So unforgiveness is easy to hoard in your spirit, but when you do that, it's like a cancer. It just eats away at you. So the way to be able to give up is to have that final forgiving nature. And also the verse, last one, is unmerciful. So that's pretty simple. We just need to show mercy. Now there is one more un, and I got to go back to verse 29 for that, and that's unrighteousness. So the simple antonym, of course, is righteousness. We should never let the uns govern our life. So before hearing Pastor's message, I had asked God what he wanted me to speak on, what he wanted me to teach on. And when I was first asked to speak on Wednesday night, he, God, the Holy Spirit, told me to speak on faith. Faith. Not just on my faith, but our faith. Because our faith as a church is what's going to enable us to continue to reach out into our surrounding communities and to help other people grow. When Pastor Spencer and I talked after the service last week, I got God bumps because he goes, "Are you going to be able to talk about good works at all?" And I said, "Pastor, it's there." And I did. I got God bumps, and it was just amazing how God takes and he knits us together, even when we don't know it. And that's because he's God. You know, if we tried to orchestrate things, we'd fall flat on our face. But with God, all things are possible. I did have something written in here, but I don't think I need to say it, but I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway because I got it written in here. So I also pray that if you're not a believer, that your heart will be ministered to so that you can see how much he does indeed care for you. But we all need to know that. We all need to know how much he cares for us. So let's just start off with a little word of prayer. Father God, I come to you tonight. I thank you for the opportunity to be able to talk about your word, to be able to share your word, to be able to share your love, to be able to share your wisdom, Father God. Lord, I ask that you just help me in my words to be able to speak your truths, not mine, but yours, Father. I ask that you just help us to be able to receive these words. And Lord, help my words to be your words and let all the words come true out of your scriptures, Father God. Lord, I love you. I thank you for all that you do for me. I thank you for all you do for this congregation. I thank you for the Well Fort Payne. And Lord, I just ask that you just bless us now and help us to receive this message into our hearts and through your love and kindness. In your holy name I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Each of us has our own stories about faith and how that faith has helped us to conquer many different obstacles in our lives. We all have those stories. I've been blessed. You can't have not had an obstacle, too, with a 30-year career in the military. We've been in different countries. We've been in different places. I've been in places that I can't even say, you know, talk about. And, you know, I'm sure that President Biden has those documents in his garage someplace. But, okay, that's bad. All right. So, one of the things that's important for us is never to hold on to a problem. The longer you hold on a problem, a trial, a point that may seem insurmountable, but turning over to him, the longer you will remain frustrated. When you are having a seemingly bad day, be silent, be still, and let God work his love in you. Psalms 46:10. I got to do Psalms because this is pastor's pulpit. Be still and know that I am God. Be still means for us to stop striving, stop fighting, relax, and let God work. No, we need to know that we have the faith and be assured that the greatest love that you have in your life is the unmerited love that he pours into our lives. God loves us and has faith in us. That is why he sent his son so that we can be restored back to the relationship he created us to have with him. He created us to have a relationship. He didn't create us to have a religion. He didn't create us to worship him. He wanted us to walk with him. He wanted us to talk with him. He wanted us to be in a relationship with him because he loved us. He wouldn't have created us if he didn't love us. Faith is a building block. Some might even say that is the cornerstone of our walk with Jesus. Isaiah tells us about 700 years before Christ was born in chapter 28, verse 16, Isaiah 28:16. Behold, I lay a cornerstone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. And that's one of the things that I got to caution you about. Whenever you make a quick decision in life, more times than not, we learn to regret it. Because we weren't still, we weren't quiet, we didn't ask God for what his direction was. Because when we jump out on our own spirit, that's when we mess things up. Jesus referenced this when he answering the questions of the chief priests and the elders in the temple in Matthew 21:42. I'm not going to reference it, but we are so blessed to have Jesus' words to help build our faith. I mean, what an amazing thing is that we have the word of God to be able to help us to grow on a daily basis. And the amazing thing is, the more you read this, the more relevant it is. You know, it's so funny when a person that's a non-Christian goes, why do you read that book? The best answer I have is, why don't I read the book? Because this is God's love, and this is how he shows us how he loves us. So what is Webster's? Because I'm going to steal this from Pastor. So what does Webster tell us about faith? Webster's tells us that it's a noun. Complete trust or confidence in someone or something. And then the second definition is a strong belief in God or in the doctrine of religion based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof. That's what faith is all about. We believe in God even though we've never seen him. We believe in God even though for a lot of us, we've never heard from him. I mean, at least not in an audible voice. We didn't get to have a burning bush sitting in front of us to give us the, you know, what is going on, to give us the direction. You know, we didn't have him say, you know, Lauren, when you're on that submarine, I want you to part the oceans. No, he didn't do that. But the neat thing about God and having faith in God is that when you look backwards, you definitely should know that you were in God's will. Man's words are fleeting when uninspired and insightful when God breathes inspiration into his word, which is the inspired word of God that we have to be able to read on a daily basis. What does the Bible have to say about faith? Both the Hebrew word emun and the Greek word, I know this is easy, piteous, lead to the same conclusion that faith is to be absolute and a confident belief. An absolute and confident belief. The best definition is Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1. Paul now tells us, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Paul had earlier written to the church in Rome in Romans 8, verses 24 and 25, for we are saved in hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what they see? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly await it with perseverance. And that's what faith's all about. It's not about something, I mean, I have a pretty good faith that this stool is going to hold me up, you know? And it's because I see it, I see how it's manufactured. You know, I have a lot of faith that we're going to have a screen up here because we have amazing people in our congregation that's going to make sure that it's there, you know? But having a faith in God that we've never seen before, that's what faith is all about. Going on in Hebrews 11, he goes on to tell us about one of the first sailors. Always got to have a sailor story. And God gave us one, Noah. Verse 7, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. I mean, you have a guy that's building a ship to preserve all of creation, and it's because it's going to rain. And they've never seen rain. They don't even know what rain is. And yet, Noah was found worthy of all the people that were on the earth to be able to build this ark for us. So his, Noah's faith and God's works not only saved his family, but guess what? Every representative of all the animals on this earth, of every living thing, of all flesh, you should bring two of every sort in the ark to keep them alive with you, and they should be male and female. And I'm not going to say stray from that verse at all. Genesis 6:19. And his faith stretched all the way to you. All the way to you. Noah's faith stretched all the way to you. And the reason why is because if Noah hadn't listened and everybody was gone, we wouldn't be here. There are so many examples of faith in the Bible. We need to be an open book so that God can continue to write his story of faith in our lives. Our story of faith will be what will help transform our families, our community, our nation. We will talk about a few of them tonight. Because without faith, Paul teaches us in verse 6 of chapter 11, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. That he is. So faith is a key ingredient, the cornerstone in our relationship with God. Faith is not to be taken lightly. It is not to be ignored, nor is it to be misconstrued. Lightly, as with the example of who we lovingly call Doubting Thomas. We have to trust that God is going to fill in the gaps of what we, with our physical eyes and our physical being, can't see and can't feel. We have to believe that. We have to have faith. We can't ignore. Religiosity, yes. Get rid of religion. Our relationship with God, never. James 4:8, draw near to God, and guess what? He's going to draw near to you. We should always seek ways to strengthen our relationship with God and with each other. Solomon tells us that saying that is so famous today, Ecclesiastes 4:9, two are better than one because they have a good reward in their labor. Do not try to walk this walk alone. When we try to walk alone, we set ourselves up for failure, for defeat, for frustration. God did not create us to be individuals. He created us, He created us to be together. In Genesis 2:20, God saw that Adam was not complete. Now, he and Adam had just walked around this world. He walked around the garden. They named all the animals. You know, him and Adam were having some really good time together. But God goes, you know what? You're not complete. And that's, you know, and that's something, that's why we have the person that stands beside us. They become our completer. He and Adam had talked. Adam had named all the animals. He had said, what you call them will be their name. And then in chapter 2, verse 20, we're told that it is not good to be alone. But for Adam, there was no helper comparable to him. So we're told that he placed Adam in a deep sleep. And from Adam's flesh, God created his completer, Eve, woman. Don't try and do this walk of faith by yourself. Even with each other, it's hard. But by ourselves, our faith is open to direct attack. How did Satan bring sin into this world? He waited until Adam and Eve were not together. He waited until he could pick on one person because they weren't complete. And that's something that you have to realize. That's one of the reasons why pastors stress so much about coming in and receiving word and fellowship. Because with fellowship, we grow stronger. We become more complete. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5:8 and 9, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brother in the world. Don't walk alone. Don't. It's just not a good thing. Now, Vice President Pence just got through getting made fun of because he said that he will not have dinner when he's by himself with a woman that is not his wife. There's so much wisdom in that. And that's one of the things that when we stand up for God, we're going to be made fun of. But through our faith and through our relationship with him, we know that we're going to overcome the enemy. And we're not going to succumb to his wiles and his trials and his tribulations. We're not going to do that. We're here to help each other. Misconstrued. Misconstrued means taken lightly. Do not be of little faith. Do not doubt. We either have faith or we do not. You cannot have 10%, 20%, 50%, or even 99% faith. God is an all-in God. He gave us his son, and he is our example. He withheld 0%. He gave all. He was an all-in for us. He lived a perfect life and was the perfect sacrifice for us. He had laid out 100% on the line for us through his flesh, through his blood, through his love for us. That's the reason why he did it. It's because he loved us. It's not because he had to. It's because he loved us. And that's the kind of God we serve, is a God that loves us. His last words on the cross were, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. God opened it up. You know, and I can't say if God cries, But I think it, even at that point in time, just the tear, I think there was a tear in God's eye on the completeness of Jesus' life and his sacrifice for us. I can't say, but I just know that God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son so that we might be saved. With this momentous statement, our road to our glorious future was opened and prepared the way for us to say, as Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I hope that we all fight the good fight. I hope that we all can look at each other and know that if we need somebody to be there for us, we'll be there. And that's something that we have to be. We have to be God's army. We have to be. James tells us that faith without works is dead. I know the pastor's already talked about that. But when we have faith, our walk with Jesus is healthy, vibrant, and passionate. If our faith is real, we will produce fruit that are demonstrated by a basket full of good works. I thought about having it going and getting a basket of apples and setting it up here, but I said, that's okay. Pastor Bonnie wasn't here. She would have done it for me. You don't have to motivate sincere people that have one-on-one relationship with God because they have the Holy Spirit in their lives helping them to do those good works. James continues in verse 2:18, but some will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Now, James isn't telling us that you can only be saved and have faith by works, but he's telling you that when you have faith, that you're going to have works. And those works can be simple. They don't have to be some long, drawn-out thing. It could be something like there's a lady at Walmart that needs somebody to put a box in the back of her car. And after they do that, she needs somebody to take that buggy to the door. That's a good work. That's a good work, you know? It's nothing that's profound. You don't have to break out the scripture and say, hey, is this okay to take a cart back? No, it's not. It's our character. It's our character. We were told last week in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you've been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It is through our faith in Jesus Christ that we become his handiwork. God lets us do good works, and he smiles. He loves it when we do that. An additional thing to consider, he prepared us in advance to do good works. Do not be deceived or have false faith. There will be those that do all kinds of religious things. But on that final day, they're going to say, Lord, Lord. And he's going to say, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me. Do not be deceived that knowledge is what you need. It is true faith. Knowledge is up here. Faith is here. One of my favorite scriptures about faith is one that I'm sure you all know, Joshua 1:9. Sorry, this verse chokes me up. Haven't I commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This has been my son Simon's verse since he was about that big. I think it's one of the very first verses that Bonnie and he worked together on. Courage is choosing to look the fear in the face and to move forward. We cannot let the enemy scare us into submission. We have to have strong faith to be able to battle him on a day-to-day basis. Our faith grows, and it grows by being in prayer with God, studying his word, believing in Christ with 100% of our heart, by being in a relationship with our Father and one another, and by sharing Something so simple. Share. Share a good word. Share time. Just share an experience with somebody. The more our faith we share with others, the more we will have. And I know that everybody knows this one, Luke 6:38. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And I just lost it. Oh. It is important for us to listen to that last part of the verse again. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. So when we sit there and we see something and we don't do anything, it's worse than not believing, because we're not believing that God has given us the faith to accomplish that task. And he gives us the strength ahead of time and the wisdom ahead of time to be able to do things. He made us a promise that he would never give us something that we could not accomplish. He made us that promise. You know, and that's the thing. That's the thing is, whenever you sit there and you think about it, you have to realize that faith is a participation. It's not a sit and watch. It's not a passive act. Faith is not just to be used when you need something. It is to be used from the moment you wake up to the moment you join with Jesus in heaven. And the waking up I'm talking about is the moment you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I'm not telling you that because you have faith, you will not have any problems. I wouldn't want to do that, because you wouldn't believe me anyway. Never have any questions. I'm telling you that faith will take you to the source of all answers, and that's God. Billy Graham said that the greatest legacy that we can pass on to our children is a legacy of having the character of faith. Queen Esther is a dynamic example of faith, and a faith that had questions. She had questions, you know, and how that faith passed the legacy not only to her family, but to the Jewish people, all the Jewish people. Queen Esther's act of faith saved the Jewish population because of her faith and her boldness to walk and to talk with God. She didn't just go, the king said I can't do this, so I can't do it. No, she talked to God, and God said, do it. And she did it. So if you never read the book of Esther, it's a great read. I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but it's an awesome, awesome story about somebody that had questions in their faith. They went to God. They sought his instruction, and she walked in true righteousness and faith with God. James tells us in James 1, 2 through 4, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. Wow. So we want to rejoice in trials? Definitely. You want to rejoice in trials. When we have trials, it's because we have faith, we can rejoice. When we are lacking in faith, we get miserable, we get frustrated, we get angry, we tend to walk down the wrong path. And guess what? When you're walking down the wrong path, Satan leaves you alone. He'll let you go. Because guess what? You're not walking in faith. So whenever you're going in the wrong direction, Satan goes, okay, I got that one taken care of. I'll just let him go. I'll come over here and mess with somebody else that is demonstrating their faith. However, if God is with us, who can truly be against us? King David tells us in Psalms 16, 8 through 11, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad. My glory rejoices. My flesh will rejoice in hope. And skipping on down to verse 11, and you will show me the path of life, and your presence is fullness of joy. I mean, that's the kind of God we have. He wants us to have a joyful life. He doesn't want us to walk in misery. He doesn't want us to walk in frustration. He wants us to walk in strength and in glory and in power through our faith in him. We have to have fullness of joy when his hand is on us, and his hand will always be on us when our faith is in and on him. When we have him before us, we can take what seems like a risk to us, but it's just God helping us grow. You only grow in your faith when you stretch it. Nothing grows unless it's exercised, fed, and nourished. Don't become complacent in your faith. Become excited, knowing that we are in his hands. I mean, what a better place to be than in God's hand. The great thing about growing in our faith is we help the body to grow too. As we grow, so does the church. Have you started talking to someone because of your enthusiasm and their countenance changed? You've gone up to somebody and you were talking to them and they were like, you know, down in the dumps. You started sharing with them. And then you say, why don't you tell me something? Tell me what God has done for you. You know, and they go, well, he hasn't done anything. You woke up this morning, didn't you? I mean, so God has given you another chance to be able to have his glory to shine through you and out to the kingdom. Well, I never thought about it that way. Well, that's why we have to help each other. You know, I was in South Carolina at a conference, and this lady, I was introduced as a pastor by one of the ladies there that knows me. And this girl that I was introduced to, she goes, I can't do what you do. I says, well, what do I do? She goes, well, you talk in front of people. I says, no, most of the time I'm not talking in front of people. I'm talking with people. And she goes, well, I just can't do it. I said, do you know John 3:16? And she goes, well, yes. I said, then you have it all in one capsule of what you need to bring somebody to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. She goes, well, I never thought about that. I said, and your faith, by sharing that with them, will help them and help you. And she goes, wow. I still think it's hard. Because the enemy wants us to be afraid. He wants us to be fearful. He doesn't want us to have a life of faith and good works. He wants us to have a life that he can say, okay, let's don't worry on that. I tell you what, that's one of the blessings about being here tonight. I mean, just about 3 years ago, we were in something called COVID. And we were trying to decide what to do. And starting a church during COVID is probably one of the silliest things that you could do. But we did it. God did it. Because we were in God's will. God's hand was on us. You know, and that's the blessing that we have, is knowing that. And that's why it's so fun just to be able to look out and see people that truly have God's heart and want to bring a smile to God's face. Because God loves us. He wants us to bring a smile to his face. Finally, Jesus tells us in Matthew 21:22, and whatever things you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. And that's the ESV translation. When Jesus said it, I believe it. A man, something from Pastor Spencer's favorite school, said, I am not perfect. I am never going to be. And that's the greatest thing about living a Christian life and trying to live by faith, is you're going to get better every day. With Jesus, you're trying to improve. It's by this guy named Tim Tebow. I don't know who that is, but. So faith is a participatory, interactive walk, not to be taken lightly, not to be ignored, or to be misconstrued. Our body, the Wellfort Pain, is here to help us grow, to overcome and conquer through the unity we have and the faith that is the cornerstone on which we grow our faith. Now, God be with us to help us through our faith to reach out to each other. Fort Payne, DeKalb, Marshall, Jackson, Etowah, Cherokee, and the rest of Alabama. The counties that surround us, the counties that are on the other side, even in Georgia and Tennessee, God loves them too. And he wants us to be able to reach out to them. Help us to support our apostles, our prophets, our evangelists, our pastors and teachers that we support as missionaries. And that's one of the things that Pastor talked about this Sunday. And that's how we continue to reach out to the world and reach out to this nation to help people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. For this reason, I bow my knee to the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ dwells in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is worthy to be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all things that we ask, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.